You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back, the dynamic duo Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure you're checking out the Locked On NBA podcast right after you're done with this. And hey, I have a special announcement. I'm really excited to be announcing for the trade deadline. It's the first ever live Locked On show. That's right. The Locked On YouTube page is going to be doing a live broadcast. So the Locked On Podcast Network is going live with an NBA trade deadline special Thursday at 1:30 Eastern, live on YouTube, the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel, hosted by David Locke and fantasy expert Josh Lloyd, plus all of the local experts on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is going down at 1:30 Eastern right on Thursday. And so if it doesn't mean that for sure guys like Trey and I would be on, but it is susceptible to anybody and everyone that is getting deadline movement, getting trade deadline action. So whoever is involved in any NBA trades is going to be on that show. So make sure you go check it out. It's a fantastic way to stay up to date. There's going to be all kinds of fun hosts on there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you go check that out. And Trey, I don't know. The action is already starting. Maybe we should have this thing live right now.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun. I'm not sure they're going to hear a lot of positivity from us, Colton, with this Grizzlies game last night. Yeah, guys, check out that live Locked On podcast via YouTube. That's going to be a lot of fun. Again, I don't know if me and Colton will be on immediately, but probably eventually. Yeah, we're doing big things here. But again, not a lot of positivity going to come from me this morning, Colton, so probably not a good idea to put me on a live podcast.
So we've got a lot to cover. We've got some games going down this week. We've got a really close loss to the Grizzlies on the road. And what's the most disappointing thing? For me, it's that Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't really able to fully take control of this game right from the get-go, despite the fact that Gasol didn't even play in this game because of the Hornets trade rumors swirling around him headed into the start of this matchup.
Yeah, so going into this game, Marc Gasol was labeled to be questionable. Then he was labeled to be out once Woj and Shams broke the news that Gasol could be traded by midnight. Ultimately, that did not happen. We actually saw Tobias Harris move happen about 3 to 4 hours ago. It sent him from LA Clippers to the Philadelphia 76ers in return for some assets and young players like Landry Shamet and other guys like Mike Muscala and a few first-round picks. So that was a pretty big deal, but ultimately Marc Gasol did not get moved. He probably will be moved today, if not tomorrow. But, you know, the disappointing thing, the first thing off the page you see is that Gasol injury that hurts for losing this one. But it's not just Gasol, Colton. If you look up and down this injury report, Kyle Anderson, Dillon Brooks, Omri Caspi, Marc Gasol, Jermichael Green, Joakim Noah, Garrett Temple, all these players out against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And obviously we have our own key injuries in Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones, Derrick Rose, and Robert Covington. But you cannot lose to a Grizzlies team that isn't even that good with all of these players still healthy. Like, this Grizzlies team is probably right where Minnesota is, fully healthy, if not just like a seed above us. So that's just not a good look for the Timberwolves going into this one. And to start off the game the way they did on a 21-4 deficit, being down 21-4 to a Grizzlies team this hampered with injuries, it just seemed Minnesota wasn't ready to come out there with a full punch in this one. And it was odd. I didn't see that coming to start off this game. I think we said in our past pod yesterday that I think we both expected them to come out with some really good work ethic and some high power into the beginning of the first quarter. And they just did not do that. And it wasn't just Towns. Like, there was no player on the court that was giving his all at the beginning of the game. And Memphis started off the game and ended the game with his own defense, which totally threw off Minnesota in this one. They had to call an early timeout. And, of course, when that 21-4 deficit ended up happening, they called another timeout in the first quarter. So there just wasn't a lot they could do from the get-go. So my first thoughts were to worry after the first quarter. How about you, Colton?
Well, I mean, when you shoot 36% and put up 19 points in a quarter to open up a game, that's never a great it's never a great way to start against anybody, let alone an NBA team. It was really confusing because they came out so aggressive against the Nuggets, and the Nuggets are such a better team than the Memphis Grizzlies. And then that you just come up flat against. I was really expecting Towns to have like 10 points, 12 points in that first quarter, just because, I mean, this seems like the matchup for him, right? And I'm probably going to hammer too much at this morning, but it just really felt like with Gasol out, you're going against Ivan Rabb at center. It felt like this was the match to take advantage of. And I know they did some trapping stuff. I know they did some switching and made sure that they could compensate for Gasol's loss by doing some extra things against Towns, but it really still felt like this was his matchup to really take advantage of. And it didn't feel like until late in that game that he really took over some areas in this game, and that was disappointing for me.
Yeah, well, there was just a lot of moments. I think there was a couple moments in the second quarter toward the end where Towns looked a little bit better. But the guy to bring them down, well, two guys, end of that second quarter. Jared Bayless played terrible in this one, but especially in that second quarter. He could not play against the zone very well. Every time a passing lane was cut off, he couldn't get the ball to the Towns in the post. They would immediately double-team him and transition to help defense, like how you just said. And then Andrew Wiggins at the end of that second quarter was just disastrous, man. It was really bad. That inbound pass from, I guess I should set it up better. Conley hit like two threes in a row with 40 seconds left in the second, in the first half, in the second quarter. And like 10 seconds left in the second quarter, Conley steals an inbound pass from Wiggins to Towns, which was a terrible pass to end a quarter. And then pulls up and hits his third three in a row to end the last 40 seconds of the first half with 9 straight points from Mike Conley. And obviously Conley's a great player, but you just cannot have that if you're the Timberwolves. And especially Andrew Wiggins making a dopey play like that in a terrible game where he wasn't shooting the ball effectively or efficiently at all. To make a terrible pass like that to end the first half was just so bad.
Really unfortunate way for that series of events to finish out. And for a Timberwolves team that's actually pretty solid at not turning the ball over, third in the NBA in turnovers with only 13.3 per game, had a pretty high mark of turnovers. They ended up with 15 turnovers and did not get very many. That's kind of been the hallmark of their defense, right, is creating turnovers. And I know they're still out. Robert Covington, Tyus Jones is out. Those are two of their better defenders. But to have only 4 steals in this one and to have only 8 turnovers from the Memphis Grizzlies, it was really rough just as far as trying to play themselves back into this one when you weren't shooting well from three, you're not creating turnovers, you're turning the ball over a bunch, you're playing sloppy. There just was no recipe in like the fourth quarter for this team to get back in it, and they still finished on that 9-0 run before the last couple of seconds of the game to get it to a tie.
Yeah, you could tell by halftime that Memphis's game plan going into this one was just better. It wasn't just the players' performance. Like I've already mentioned with the zone defense, that was genius in this one to randomly do that, because the Grizzlies are not a team that has been running that all season long. But since Marc Gasol was out for this game and he hasn't missed a lot of games this year, their first idea was to give Jaren Jackson the bulk of the minutes, which they did, and then Ivan Rabb came up clutch. But a lot of his buckets were easy for Mike Conley, getting him the ball easy in an easy way. But their idea here was to keep Jaren Jackson in the game, right? Jackson, we've both been very high on this podcast. I said that he could be probably better than Andrew Wiggins right now, which I'm just going to keep on to that take as of right now. I might drop it eventually. But he's been having foul trouble all season long. And if they would have just played their normal, whatever, the 3-2 defense that they had going for the remainder of the season and had Jaren Jackson fill in for Marc Gasol like that, he would have had a lot of foul trouble against one-on-one against big mans. They would have just destroyed him in the post. And in this game, they helped him out with the zone. They played a lot more switchy, helped defense. He didn't get fouled out. That should have been the goal of Minnesota. They couldn't get to him as quickly as they wanted to, because if Jaren Jackson wasn't in that starting five, they don't have another big man to throw in there. Going into the second half, I was really worried. But in that third quarter, the Timberwolves definitely made some strides to try to catch up from the lead that Memphis had. And it was up to Super Dario Saric, who had a really good third quarter, hit some nice threes there, especially had a good fourth quarter too with Towns. And then Towns started making some shots. Luol Deng hit some really open, nice threes. And it was just a good performance all around for Minnesota in that one. They had 29 points to Memphis's 19, so that was really solid. So I was actually getting pretty excited going to this fourth quarter.
Yeah, the bench for the Timberwolves definitely kept them in it. You had Luol Deng with 18 points, 22 points from Saric off the bench, and Saric was shooting 63% from the field, Deng 80% from the field. So the bench was keeping them in it. And as far as Jaren Jackson, I felt like we really hyped him up, and he had kind of a little bit of a quieter performance the last game they played just a few days ago, and then this game was the one that we were really expecting that first round where he had 23 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, shot 57% from 3, and just kind of was the Swiss Army knife that did everything. I do want to talk about your counter to Jaren Jackson, Andrew Wiggins, but first let's get to a break for some sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, we're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies game, and we got plenty to say with a disappointing road loss to push the Timberwolves to 25-28 on the season, losing by 2 points to the Memphis Grizzlies, 108-106. There was zero lead changes in this game. It was tied once. That's how in control the Memphis Grizzlies were ahead of the Timberwolves, which is not something you want to say about your team. But there was not a lot of great factors in this game. One of them was Andrew Wiggins, who has had a really tough go of it the last three games. Last three games, he's averaging 37.2 minutes, but only 11.3 points, shooting 27% from the field, 14% from three, and he's putting up 5 rebounds, 2 turnovers, and only and under a steal per game. What's going on with Wiggins? How do we pull him out of this slump? Is this just one of those things where he's just going to go away for a week and then we can expect a 40-point game at some point around the corner? Or is this worse? Because I tell you what, he's had some slumps. He's never had a stretch of games, I don't believe, this season where he shot under 30% from the field and under 20% from three.
Absolutely not. And that's a horrible three-game stat line right there. And that's why, if anybody saw from last night, John Krasinski of The Athletic noted that Andrew Wiggins was rumored to be on the trade block as of yesterday, which is really big news. And if that is indeed true, and we can usually trust John Krasinski from all the sources he relays from The Athletic, if that is true, then this isn't really necessarily helping Andrew Wiggins' trade value. If they do intend on moving on from him, kind of like the Clippers did with Tobias Harris or the Pistons before that. So it's not a good look for Andrew right now. And it's not just these past three games, Colton. I tracked this back this morning because I was pretty I was pretty mad this morning from watching these highlights again, man. I was watching that fourth quarter. I didn't like the way this game was lost. And ultimately, I looked to a couple guys, but I can't put too much blame on guys like Jared Bayless and Josh Okogie. I got to give the majority of blame to Andrew Wiggins in this one. It wasn't just shooting 5 of 18 from the field or 1 of 6 from 3 or just him being invisible sometimes on the defensive end. I tracked back since his 40-point game against OKC on January 8th. His 12 games since then, since that game, he's had 12 games. He's 6-7, so the Timberwolves are pretty even, pretty middling. And he's averaging 17 points per game. He's averaging 36.3% from the field, 6 of 17. This is all in 37 minutes per game, mind you. From the three-point line, he's averaging 1.7 threes, 4.8 attempts, 28.3% from the three-point line, which is terrible. There is no other wing that's averaging over 30 minutes in the NBA right now that's averaging under 30% from three on more than 2 attempts. That's really, really bad.
That's a good stat. That's a very good stat right there.
He is averaging 2.8 made free throws out of 4.3 attempts, 64.7% from the free throw line, which, again, is horrible when you have guys who are also averaging over 4.5 free throws a game. He's right there with DeAndre Jordan, who's averaging 67% from the free throw line this season. And then he's averaging 6 rebounds, which, congratulations, Andrew Wiggins, 2 assists, and 3 turnovers per game in 12 games, in the past 12 games. It's been really, really bad for Wiggins. And in these 12 games, he's had 3 games over 20 points. He had a really good 35-point performance in a loss versus Utah. He had a 21-point game against Utah the game before that, where he shot 8 of 26 from the field. I just had to repeat that. 5 turnovers. And then he did get a win with the Timberwolves against the Lakers, who are LeBronless, where he had 23 points, but he shot 9 of 23 from the field. So we just essentially can't let Andrew Wiggins shoot over 12 shots a game at this point, Colton. It's really, really bad.
Well, and it's getting very much in that zone, like you already mentioned, where you ask not can you trade him or who you trade him to or who would take him, but should you, is it even prudent to trade him because your stock is so low right now in the Wiggins sector that you're probably not getting really any return. I mean, you're selling for pennies on the dollar.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. The only teams that are going to take Andrew Wiggins are the teams that are just like Minnesota right now. So that ranges from any team that's struggling to be an 8th seed in the East, and it's any team that's struggling to be an 8th seed in the West. It's a team that really needs to take a chance on a player that most people have forgotten about or given up about. And to compare Andrew Wiggins to a past player that this kind of happened with was Victor Oladipo of the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Orlando Magic before that. A lot of players forgot about him. They just forgot about Oladipo as a 23, 24-year-old. And they said, okay, he's like not what everyone thought he was going to be. And when he got traded to the Indiana Pacers for Paul George, immediately everybody was freaking out and saying how the Pacers were robbed, right? The Pacers were robbed. They sent away Paul George for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. And in this case, obviously Oladipo blew up. He made Indiana his own team. And there's obviously a big confidence and personality difference between Oladipo and Wiggins, but their numbers are pretty linear. Like they were not good shooters. They're inefficient. They try to be better playmakers, but they weren't great in both Orlando and in Oklahoma City for Oladipo. But it's just those kind of deals that might be the only opportunities for Wiggins to a team where Paul George was kind of given up on by Indiana after his injury, and he didn't feel comfortable there anymore. So it could just be like what we saw with Tobias Harris to Philadelphia this, you know, 4 or 5 hours ago, where it's just to a middling team that needs to get rid of their borderline all-star that they don't really like there anymore, that might be disgruntled. And I'm not saying this is a possibility, and I'm not saying it should happen, obviously, with the history of Chicago, but it's not that different from like seeing a guy like Jabari Parker or Zach LaVine at Chicago to come to Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins. I'm not saying we should do that, of course. I don't want Zach LaVine back on this team after giving him up. That would be the most annoying thing I could possibly think of happening. But it's just that kind of player, those two type of players that you could see in return for Wiggins. Now, your original question is it worth it? Probably not, right? We probably don't need to move Wiggins right now at his lowest value in his career. It's probably not the best idea.
Yeah, I just don't see a scenario where I walk away super happy with any package that the Timberwolves get for him. But that said, these are desperate times, and the Timberwolves only make great decisions with their back against the wall, so we'll see what happens. We're going to get to another break for some sponsors, and then we're going to look ahead to the games coming before the deadline, and we're going to see if the Timberwolves can actually make a run of this thing. First, some sponsors. Timberwolves just lost to the Memphis Grizzlies on the road. It's the first of 3 games on the road. They're going to Orlando to play the Magic. They're going to New Orleans to play the Pelicans. And then they'll be at home for the Clippers and the Rockets. That is their slate of games before the All-Star break. And Trey, my question is simple. Should we still believe in the Wolves? Is there some sort of magic that they can do, that they can pull out, that they can conjure before the All-Star break, where they just make some sort of weird push? Right now, they are 25-28. They're still ahead of Dallas. They're still ahead of New Orleans. And they're a couple of games back from the Lakers at 27-27 and the Sacramento Kings at 28-25. The 8th seed is the LA Clippers, 30-25, who just had that trade for Tobias Harris to send him to the 76ers. So you've got some new pieces on that team. Maybe without those new pieces going back and forth between them and the 76ers, maybe they have a little bit of a slide here before the All-Star break, lose a couple of games because of transition before the All-Star break. Can the Timberwolves, should Timberwolves fans still believe in this team to make some sort of push? And is that time right now before the All-Star break to catch some teams sleeping?
It's a really tough situation where they're at right now, because if you're a fan feeling like this Wolves team isn't going to make the playoffs, you're probably not wrong, but what is the second option here? Do they tank? And if you do tank, how far down can you, or far, how far, how, sorry, how much higher can you possibly get in these draft picks, right? Because the Timberwolves are currently sitting around the 12th pick if they finish the NBA season right now in the draft. And anybody who's been studying the draft outside of the top eight guys, it's kind of wishy-washy. You're kind of taking a chance on a lot of different players. And obviously, this is the Zion Williamson draft and the RJ Barrett, whomever, Cam Reddish. This is the Duke draft, the first three guys. And I get it, right? And those guys are really good. Morant's really good. But if you get out of that top 7 to 8 players, it's really messy. And I understand it's only February. That's usually the case every February. That's kind of messy. We're still going to wait out to March Madness to see who pops out. But if the Timberwolves do, try to, make a move and send Wiggins elsewhere and try to tank this team a little bit and sit Towns a little bit, which, I hate the idea of that, they probably get only as high as the 8th pick, okay? So I don't really think that's the best idea, because ultimately that just turns into an asset that's probably hopefully going to be as good as Josh Okogie, or you just trade it for another role player or borderline all-star this summer, which is a big hope. Ultimately, I do think the Timberwolves should keep fighting for the 8th spot. Currently in the 8th spot are the Clippers. The Lakers definitely don't have anything guaranteed. They just lost by freaking 40 points last night. And that was LeBron's biggest loss of his life. And he was starting in that game. So he played close to 40 minutes in that one. So that was pretty crazy. So that's just a good indicator that the Lakers aren't a shoo-in for the playoffs, even with LeBron James. And the Timberwolves, even though they haven't been playing well right now, and they're 1-4 in their past 5 games, their upcoming schedule isn't terrible. Okay, so they need to start getting on a good groove here, as I think Anthony Davis will get moved by the trade deadline. They play Orlando next game, New Orleans after that, and then a Los Angeles Clippers team who just traded away their best player in Tobias Harris. So the next 3 games are really, really important for Minnesota, and I might have a different ring to me in 3 games from now if we go on a 3-game losing streak here, and I might be talking about tanking a little bit more. But as of right now, I would not go down that road. I would really try to push it out here. And it just really depends on what happens at the deadline for Minnesota. If guys like Anthony Davis are moved, then you can really take advantage of the market maybe, or these teams that are doing porous, like the Clippers, who trade away their best player. So it just depends on what happens at the trade deadline. But it's looking pretty grim, but I would not give up if I'm Minnesota.
Well, I mean, if you pull Towns and have Andrew Wiggins shoot like 20 times per game, you're probably going to find yourself in that lottery. But the thing of it is that it's not a great look for a team that just spent 14 years not making the playoffs after one playoff appearance to go right back to tanking. It's not a great feel for a fan base. You're not giving them a lot of hope. The other thing is that at the trade deadline, what you could do in lieu of losing a bunch of games is just try and collect draft picks, try and trade assets for draft picks, and if you can package 3 draft picks together to get into that top, you probably have to make it into the top 5. I'm just trying to think of more on the Timberwolves, and Ja on that team would be awesome. To have that kind of point guard would be fantastic.
Yeah, Morant would be awesome to have. I just really like, they'd really have to tank hard, Colton. Like, it would have to be like, to get a good enough lottery pick,
you'd have to be top 5.
Yeah, you'd have to be top 5, and at that point you even might have to trade another asset to get even higher than that. More kind of like what the Dallas Mavericks did to get Luka Doncic from 5 to 3. And that's just how good Morant is, and he might do much better in March Madness too. But that is the kind of player that we need right now, a really good scoring facilitator that can do kind of both, that we kind of wish for Tyus Jones. But yeah, man, like, if they need to move around some assets to get some draft picks, the highest trade value players right now are the role players that can come off the bench for definite playoff teams, like Portland, who just gave out 2 second-round picks and 2 role players for freaking Rodney Hood, which I don't know what that organization's doing. And then you look at Houston, who's been ready to give up, like, all their first-round picks just for some kind of talent because they have nothing next to James Harden, essentially. And you look at our roster, we do have really cheap players that teams could give up second-round picks for right now, winning teams to play as backup players. Jared Bayless is obviously the most notable player out of that group. He's averaging 14 points per game in the past 6 games, 39% from 3 on 7 attempts. Like, he's a solid facilitator too. Like, he averages 8 assists a game in the past 6 games. So he could definitely be given up for a few seconds. But the problem is, who does Minnesota have to play a point guard, right? And they have a lot of injuries right now. So that would definitely mean a tank if we traded him.
Jared Terrell.
Yeah, Luol Deng is definitely one of the better options, too, as a tanking asset if they want to trade him elsewhere. Dan Moore talked about this on Twitter yesterday. Luol Deng's averaging 10.5 points per game in the past six games, only in 20 minutes per outing. And he's averaging 60% from the field and 50% from three-on-three attempts from the arc. So that's another good asset. And the only other one that I could think of would be Dario Saric. And he's just been misused for Minnesota this whole season. And I don't really want to go off on Saric right now, but it was his highest scoring total this game since last season in Philadelphia. We're talking about a whole season that's taken Dario to get over 20 points per game, 20 points in a game. And in this one, he scored 22, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He really is a whole package if you play him over 30 minutes a game. And Minnesota's played him over 30 minutes six times this year, and he's averaging 18 points per game in each of those games and averaging 45% from the arc. So he's a really good player if you play him a lot. He just has to get in his groove. So that's just another trade asset that they have. And you just can't move Josh Okogie. So it's really just Bayless, Deng, and Saric to me that you can possibly move.
See, if you're the Timberwolves, I don't really want to move Saric. But if you're the Timberwolves and you see a team, and there's a couple of these teams out there, but if you see a team like the Detroit Pistons, who are fringe right on the playoff cusp in the Eastern Conference, and you're like, hey, we are not doing anything this year. We just want draft picks. We want a lot of draft picks. And we'll give you, like, Jared Bayless. You can't really trade him because he got traded this year, unfortunately. That's the rule, right? I don't think you can trade him until next June.
I believe he can be traded, but only for a single asset back. He can't be traded for – there can't be multiple assets in the deal. That's what I believe the deal is.
Okay, so that works out perfectly, though, because if you trade him if you trade, like, him and Luol Deng for, like, a draft pick or, like, Luke Kennard or something and just try and get a pick and then you're moving guys around – and you're getting draft picks. Maybe you, like we're saying, maybe you can package at the trade, or not the trade deadline, in the war room, getting ready for the draft. If you can trade like a bunch of draft picks and like maybe a young piece to get into that lottery, maybe that makes this season worth it, and maybe that makes because the Timberwolves pick is just growing in value here as we head along. So maybe that makes it worth it if you're able to crack into that top five with a package for another team. And you've done some losing, so your pick adds value. But right now, if the season ended right now, it'd just be such a bummer because they just get nothing out of this year.
Yeah, it really would be. You really don't want to see a season kind of end like this if that's what Minnesota did, and they did end up losing the next few games against Memphis, New Orleans, and the Clippers. You really don't want to see that. You could probably just chalk up the season to injuries, honestly. And, mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of living in the moment right now. You've talked about this a lot. Maybe I'm living more in the moment. The Timberwolves really have had some bad luck this year with injuries, and I don't want to just seem like a Timberwolves fan by saying that, but it's objectively true. They've really been hampered with injuries more so than any other potential playoff team this season, maybe besides the Grizzlies, if you want to call them a playoff team. So that's been a huge problem. I was just looking at the Trailblazers yesterday because they were playing a good game at 10:30. I was watching that game. They haven't had an injury all season long. They haven't had one injury all season long. And I'm looking at Minnesota, and we're getting our best players are getting hurt. Except for Towns, obviously, and Wiggins. But our best players outside of those two guys are getting hurt consistently, constantly. And guys like Covington, who haven't seen the floor in over a month, it's just been a real struggle for Minnesota to stay healthy. So if you're a Wolves fan and you don't like us talking about, you know, tanking or anything like that, like, just remember that in the future, when we look back at this season after that playoff year that we had, we might just look at this one as an injury year that it was just unfortunate and it was out of our hands.
Yeah, that's true, too, is that you don't want to blow it out of proportion. There have been a ton of injuries. It just would be – I mean, if they're not even going to be in the playoff race, like if they lose three or four out of these next few games, and they're not even close to the playoff race. I mean, they really have to make a push just to even stay on the Clippers' heels. And so if they don't make that push before the All-Star game, it would be a real bummer to not take advantage of the trade deadline and get some assets and try and at least get a really good pick in this draft, because that would be a really bad taste for Timberwolves fans to miss the playoffs again, to not even be close, to not really have a young asset coming in, to not have the next move kind of mapped out a little more for them. But that's a kind of a grim note to end on. But we'll be talking about the Orlando Magic, and hopefully tomorrow there will already be some pieces moved, and maybe this Magic team is a little different. Maybe there's some pieces that have left that the Timberwolves can really take advantage of some matchups. So that's around the corner. We'll be talking about that later. We'll have all kinds of trade stuff going up all over the Locked On Podcast Network tomorrow, and I'm sure going up today as well. So stay on the lookout for that stuff. But as of right now, that's it for Trey and I. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.